Murder, zero. Murder.
Hey everyone, it's Thursday night and another edition of the Foch's Corner with Mr. UVA Twitter King, Coach Phony Bennett, the producer and CEO, T-Dubs, my man Dougie Fresh, who's climbing the Twitter ladder every day, and myself, Mark Jerome, with a couple of special guests joining us. Coach Phony Bennett, what is happening in Twitter world?
It's been busy. There's sports happening. There's schedules coming out. So we got a lot to talk about. It's been an entertaining week on Twitter, and I look forward to seeing what T-Dub picked out for us.
Any new recruits?
No, not this week. It's been quiet on the recruiting front. I think they heard about the Canadian national player, and they're a little bit scared off. So we'll get some new blood in the pipeline.
T-Dub, welcome back. Yeah, last week, bro.
Absolutely. I think Grant did such a good job. We're having him back. He's gonna lead the charge again today with some tweets.
I'm going week two in a row.
Appreciate you. Let's go.
All right. One of our special guests joining us today, Grant Kersey.
The legend. You just got to say that every time I say your name, Grant.
I don't know about all that. I might have to quit and come back.
Oh. Wait. This might be Grant's first miss. He's four
I'm
for
folding.
Five
I'm folding. Oh,
man, the pressure.
Oh.
4 for 5.
We don't have to all see it. Oh. We can talk about it. Justin Anderson's dunk.
Yeah, the first one was
Fresh has seen it. I think I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it, Fresh? Is it on your Twitter feed?
Have I seen it? Every time I open my phone up and I go into anything, it's just Justin Anderson dunk on John. Justin Anderson on John. But I love it. I keep watching it.
It's so good.
But what I like the most about it is the curl coming off the screen and the point guard just bouncing the ball, and then Justin just comes off the screen, curls, goes straight down, boom.
Yeah, he curls aggressive. Hard.
Yes. He looked like a crafty veteran in that play.
Did anyone catch it live?
I did not.
No, I was probably several minutes behind reality because I saw it on Twitter. So
yeah,
that's a brief delay. But so many people are you know, now suddenly the poster truthers are coming out about it.
I'm back. Here we go. Here's the video. I got it.
There you go.
Because Fresh and I were talking about this today. Sorry, my cat's not happy. Fresh and I were talking about this today on whether it counts as a poster, you know, and that's the big debate. Does a help defender get credit, or if a help defender comes over and gets dunked on, is he posterized or not? Okay. Fresh, give you your 2 cents.
He's in the poster.
I really could answer that question.
Yeah, I think YB. I think dudes that played above the rim like YB are probably more qualified. But I definitely have my 2 cents. Go ahead, Y.
Go ahead, Y. Yeah, well, let's hear it.
I mean, being someone that actually got dunked on in that situation because Junior Burroughs, man, dunked on me because he tried to front some dude that doesn't even score against. I think it was Clemson. And I'm doing my thing. I got my dude, and I'm always going to help out. And I got dunked on in that situation. Like, it's been two people that can say they dunked on me, but I was so pissed with that. And Junior knows it. He knows that. But back to the question. Yes, that is very valid. This is legitimate. That dude had every opportunity to get to that shot. He wasn't even really late, if you look at it. He was right there. He saw it. He saw him coming at the free throw line, and he was on the box. He got dunked on.
No, maybe.
He got blessed.
Maybe Giannis was waiting for the Euro step that never came. He kind of stays to the left of the basket. He didn't go right
at
it.
Who was that? I couldn't tell who it was. Who was it?
That's a Greek freak, Giannis.
Look at the pistol. He doesn't jump to Giannis.
That's a big deal.
YB, Dougie, he doesn't jump until Justin gets to the rim.
Yeah.
I don't care. He saw it coming.
I can't call that getting dunked on.
And he's 7 foot tall. That is.
But he doesn't.
That's his fault. Whose fault is it that he didn't jump? That's his fault. He saw him at the free throw line.
You can't call that getting dunked on.
He took a dribble. He was standing on the box, Mark.
Look when he starts to jump. Look when Giannis starts to take the jump.
He got dunked on.
Justin already has a cutback with it. Dang it.
If he wasn't 7 foot, I would change my story. But he got blessed, brother.
YB. 1992, what happens in that play?
Huh?
What happens in that play in 1992? J.A. is getting some contact.
Who?
Justin Anderson is getting some contact if it's 1992.
Oh, what happens? He's getting the elbow in his chest.
Right. He ain't gonna make it to the rim.
He ain't gonna make it to the rim.
Can we get the opinion of our special guest, of our other special guest joining us tonight? First time many of us are meeting him. Who played with you guys back in the day?
Have.
Famous Chris Havlicek. Did he get dunked on or not?
Hey, Mark, I'm with you on this. He's late. And as one of the all-time great layup line dunkers in the history of Noble and Greeno School, I would say that, you know what, I'm always going to give it to my guys at UVA and give them the benefit of the doubt. But I think he got posterized, but he was late. Whoever just froze that screen, that looks like he did dunk on, but he was late.
That's what I'm saying. If the picture at the end, if you're in the poster, I feel like that's what you got to go by.
Hit the next picture. That's the poster right there.
That's the poster.
The basket. The ball's already – Justin is my man. Love him to death. Would love nothing more for Justin to say I dunked on him. Look, hit the next picture. The ball's in the rim. The ball's in the net when Giannis' arm is up.
But, like, Giannis, he swiped in a weird way. It's like he was taught to play basketball by Mr. Miyagi. He's like, wax on, wax off.
Hey, but I'm going to say this. If that was my boy YB dunking on Giannis, I'd give it to him. Or Brian Stith or any of my boys. But that's a generational thing. That's a generational thing, and you can't hate on me for that.
But my thing is, he's not just late. He's seen it. He had every opportunity. He saw right. him.
That's why. Him. Yes.
And
you don't get credit for not getting posterized just because you defended poorly.
Right.
Because we've seen many guys who realize they're coming and they just don't jump at all.
Right.
So he must have thought he could get there. Try.
Right. Exactly. If you're gonna try, it's. I mean, they're both in the air. That's a poster.
That was half a try.
I think Jack Salt goes up with two hands straight up, bodies him, and he misses.
Straight up.
And no foul.
He would have met him at the dotted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Maybe
that's
not.
Good. Yeah, I did not know that was Giannis. I didn't know that was Giannis when I saw that. That makes it a definitely dunked on.
Yeah, that's – that's literally a poster. I want that poster.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you print that out as a poster and put it on your wall,
it's a poster. Giannis is still pissed off
about that somewhere.
I would love that poster as well, T-Dubs. I'm with you. It's a great picture. I can't call that as like someone going up against
somebody. Straight up dunk. It's not a one-on-one.
I mean, it's different help side, yes, but it's still a poster.
I mean, Justin probably shouldn't play them next time they play. I mean, he shouldn't play next time they play because Giannis, he's going to try to do more than dunk on him. That's what I would do.
That's a good point.
You're right.
He might get damaged in that game.
Now, I will say, because somebody mentioned it, I respect Giannis for attempting to defend it. It was a poor attempt, but I respect it more than
he thought he could get it, turn their back and try
to get away from it.
That's like, the key phrase, poor attempt, right? Can you get posterized on a poor attempt?
Sure. Why should you get credit for that? Either don't attempt and it's not a poster, just Justin gets his dunk.
Right.
But if you're going to attempt, then – All bets are off. And I respect that he attempted. I mean, there's no shame in it.
That's exactly what happened to me. Ain't no shame. I mean, I'd rather attempt than not attempt.
Right. Well, I got to tell you.
Give it up.
But it sounds like you're still a little scarred from it.
At the same time, though, you know when you have no chance. You know when you have no chance. I'm with you, though, Fresh. He had an opportunity. He was there.
Right.
But he missed the ball. He missed the ball.
He,
Like, he was
there.
He,
like, had a weird – his hand came across if weird. His he hand he's, like, trying to save fouls.
And that's the other thing. Like, I had a skill – I'm not just trying to toot my joint, but I had a skill with that. Like, you got to put that elbow to his chest. Mm-hmm. That left hand is a – the left arm is an elbow to his chest.
Blocker.
And that right hand is a heat-seeking missile to the ball. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, a heat-seeking missile to the ball. He didn't do that. He don't have a heat-seeking missile when it comes to defense.
Yeah, Chris and YB, do you remember Junior dunking on a dude against, I think it was NCAA&T, and he stared him down? It's what Junior has, I think, is his, and I don't know if you can find it. He did have it as his cover photo on Twitter.
I don't remember that.
Grant, can you find Junior's Twitter? That was one of the most devastating dunks that I ever witnessed firsthand. Talk about dunking on a guy, and then Junior just stared the dude down afterwards.
I don't remember that. And that doesn't even sound like him, so I gotta see that.
It doesn't. I agree, why it doesn't.
It was
Junior. Hey, we dunked a lot. We had some dudes that could dunk, man. We had YB throwing down some stuff. Corey had a dunk at Florida State.
Florida State.
I don't know if you remember. Florida State dunk where he dunked on Rodney Dobard so hard, and he broke his eardrum. I remember he came over and his eardrum was broken. I mean, we had some dudes.
All right, see
Junior, Junior
has that picture cropped. I'll show you guys
picture. Yeah.
I'm showing you guys the picture because I took it. Can you guys see that? Yeah. I can't see my screen right now.
Oh, that's your picture? Oh,
yeah, nice. That's my picture. And I don't know how he ended up coming to use it, but he dunked on this dude, and then the dude fell down and he stared him down, and I got so much shit afterwards because I didn't get a picture of him staring down the guy. That's the shot that everyone wanted to see. But
yeah, I can't see June staring somebody down.
Who was that against?
I think it was North Carolina A&T. So it was like an early matchup. But
I mean, come on, man.
I probably played in that game. It'll give you
A&T. Come on, bro.
I got like 3.5 minutes in that game. I remember it well.
Career high.
But phony. I don't think you can say the greatest anything of all time you've seen came from a game against A&T. No offense to A&T. If we're playing A&T, I mean, nah.
You're
getting dunked on.
That's a
– Yeah. It was the stare down that moved me. And I mean, again, I was 2 feet away. That has more of an impact than something on TV. Yeah, I mean, the dunk. And it looks like the guy, you know, was trying to get the hell away but failed. And Junior still dunked all over him.
Yo, I smacked the backboard in the layup one time and stared somebody down.
Probably against A&T.
I was like, yo, come get that. Come get that, yeah. Marshall. Where you
what
at?
You got?
Yeah, bring show that footage. Bring that up.
YB, rat-a-tat-tat. No, but by the way, so we have, I don't know if you know this, somebody did a dunk contest tournament from Virginia Basketball Dunks, and I will put Corey's against any of those at Florida State. He rose up from beyond the dotted over 6'11". How big was Rodney Dobard, YB? 6'10"? 9?
6'9". Long arms that could jump.
Yeah.
6'9".
He has the NBA wingspan, 7'5". And see, man, he would just come out of nowhere. Boom. Anyhow, Mustafa's was nice.
Dobard was probably late, though, right? He was probably late getting there.
Touché. Touché.
Hey, do y'all remember having Fresh? Do y'all remember when Corey tried to dunk on me one time in practice?
Mm-mm.
And the thing about it, like, we were arguing. Like, we don't argue hardly ever. But we argued a call right before that. And you know how it gets when you argue calls.
Right.
And so the next play down, you could just see it in his face. Like, he's pissed off. He's pissed off from arguing. And you see in his face when somebody get the 1-2 and they about to go up.
Yep,
I'm like, oh, this punk about to try to dunk on me. And so I went up, heat-seeking missile. I caught all of that. He comes down, and all he could say was, That's what you're supposed to do every time.
That's exactly.
Like he wanted to dunk on me so bad. Like I would never have heard the end of that because he was pissed off at me from the argument.
He's just trying to make you better. What? That's how we did it.
That's all.
So Farrakhan, Mustafa wins the whatever.
Yeah, show him.
NBA Jam.
Yeah, that dude wasn't late at all.
That's nasty.
No, that was
no.
And he stared him down.
Deservedly so. That right. Was the winner.
You get the flex. You.
And he got fouled.
That's a winner in every sense of the word.
Yeah, it's got everything.
You know what? I never considered that part. It's an and one, right?
What about the mask one, Grant? Let's go to that. Let's go. Have you guys seen this one?
Yeah, I actually watched that today.
Who's your mask for?
I didn't see that.
They write whoever they're met. Is that Tomas on there?
Oh no, I saw this like 3 days ago.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, they write.
I'm in Twitter future, yo.
Who's your mask for? I'll tell you right now, in Lake Tahoe, they don't wear masks, so they just don't care. I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, some of those folks are in my mentions today, so.
That's pretty cool. That's a good one.
Thomas is on there. Sam's on there. Coach Bennett.
Charles Snowden. That's a good one.
Snowden didn't apologize for his poor handwriting. He said it's difficult to write on a mask.
He said it's hard to write on the mask. I did see that as well.
And then the other big one was the football schedule, right, Grant? Is that the next?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, talking about stuff in the bubble. Joe Harris has been killing it.
Yeah, 27. 10 for 13. Wow.
Yeah, 6 for 7 from 3.
He hurt his back, though, right? That's why he didn't play the next game, I think.
Yeah, I think I saw on ESPN. It was like it was back stiffness. Yeah, and then the next big thing, you write the updated Virginia football schedule.
So VMI.
Yeah, they got Virginia Tech week 2, first conference game.
So weird. I mean, it might actually help us because, I mean, we look at last season, there was so much attrition by the time we got there. I mean, we lost so much of our defensive secondary and big names were out. So ideally we had got a pretty healthy team for this and Tech hasn't had much time to gel, but we're still breaking in a new quarterback.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'll be excited if there's football. I'll just be happy if there's football. And it's a great year for it to be at Blacksburg because there won't be any fans there or maybe there'll be 20% or something. Teams are doing different things.
Paper cutouts.
Yeah. We got to – I like our chances with it being an early thing. It's just going to feel really odd playing them that soon. I mean, I'm used to the season building up to that game.
Right.
Not starting with it.
Yeah, having it up front is really strange. I don't get that.
But the thing is, the season in general, as a whole, is just going to feel weird. So you might as well just let everything happen.
Chris, Hav, are you on the phone, Hav? I mean, are you still with us?
I might have lost him.
Okay. I wanted to get his opinion, being down in Florida with the spike in cases, what he thought, if he thought there would be football or not.
I heard the Dolphins are planning on having sellout stadium.
What? Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to send our guys.
A month
down.
Ago, I think.
It seems like Florida and Texas are just like, well, who cares about the virus? Just let it. Population control, basically, just gonna let it go.
Yeah, we gotta go there twice.
Grant, while you're on campus, do you think there's going to be football?
Grounds, Mark.
Oh, grounds, excuse me. I've been doing so well with it lately.
Damn it.
I really, really hope so, but I really don't know. Because now they push back us starting in-person classes for 2 weeks. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like so much can change from day to day.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, who knows what's next?
Can't even make a guess, yeah. I really hope we could play, but I hope we could play safely so no one's, like, in danger.
I read that they are thinking about doing a bubble for NCAA as well, considering how well the NBA went. But I don't know how that I don't know how they pull that off.
Yeah, I don't
know. The Big East and for the Big Ten.
I think you got to try to create somewhat of a bubble to where you're just limiting exposure. You have to, but you just got to – that puts trust in all the other teams, you know what I mean? Whoever you're going to play, you got to trust that they've been following the bubble and everything.
I mean, UConn canceled the season, right? Then they just pull
– Yeah, they just did.
Yeah, they just canceled there.
Yeah, there's a lot of programs that have done that. I don't know. I mean, I suspect we'll start the season. I just don't know if we'll be able to finish the season. I mean, the way this virus tends to just run through big groups once it hits, I'm very skeptical. But there's a lot of people that don't believe that because I tweeted about the schedule today, and you got some mentions about the folks that think it's just an overreaction, that it's just like the flu. Even though 150,000 Americans are dead by it. I was thinking about that. 150,000 Americans dead in 6 months. So that's more or less a 9/11 every 4 days. And if we were having 9/11s every 4 days, would people be okay with some changes?
Yeah, it's crazy.
We give up a lot more at the airports after that than just having to wear a mask. It's just amazing to me. But yeah, old coaches retire anyway. Yeah, I mean, it just some of the responses I get. Then there's just people that are like, hey, I'm just happy to get a schedule and don't complain that we play tech early. And I'm really not complaining that we're playing tech early. I think it may ultimately benefit us, but it just feels so weird.
Yeah. It seems like it's just all rushed.
But I don't know. Yeah. Twitter may be hiding some of the more responses. You may be able to get down to the responses. Cause I think some people ended up, go down to the bottom there. Yeah, show more replies. You might see the ones. Oh, yeah, show the offensive ones. There you go. Because this one seemed to blame me. Yeah. It's a heck of a hashtag that guy's using that I won't repeat. But it's managed to be both racist and insulting and maybe misogynistic too. So, I mean, it really – really great representative. I muted the guy after the first tweet, so I'm actually only seeing the rest of this stuff right now. By the way, mute is so much better than block on Twitter because people don't know that they're muted, so they can continue yelling at you, thinking that you're hearing them, and you never see it. You're blissfully
unaware. Oh, so mute is just for you visually, blocked for them is the same.
Right. So this guy's just basically yelling into the void. Because my big thing with idiots like that is I don't amplify those folks on Twitter. There's some folks that'll call these tweets out like, hey, look at this idiot. Look what this guy is saying. I've always chosen not to amplify the idiots. I put them on mute. I don't see their stuff. They don't get the extra views on their tweets because most of these guys, I mean, go see how many followers that guy has. Because most of these people, you look and hardly anyone follows them and there's a really good reason for it. Yeah, 52 followers. Exactly. Like, why am I going to give that guy a platform to spew nonsense? And what happens when you retweet someone like that, even if you're calling them out, you're giving them the platform, so.
And then.
I didn't see this earlier. It goes back to what you guys talked about what they think in Florida. With FSU announcing limited capacity.
25%.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. And are they going to be able to keep the fans spaced out, or is it going to be 25% capacity and everyone's crowded around the 50-yard line? Like, how are they going to actually enforce the spacing in there? It's easy to say, well, there's only a quarter of the people, but if they're all huddled together, it doesn't
matter. It's not doing anything. Yeah. Right.
Paper cutouts every.
I think the paper cutouts is cool, and I think it's a great way.
Change it up.
And you see in MLS, like sometimes they put on like these a single fan on the Jumbotron in these MLS games, and that's hilarious. Like just somebody right. watching at home and
they can see themselves.
Yeah.
I was watching the NBA last night, and I think people can tune in.
Yeah.
And become a fan. So like Lil Wayne was on for a little while.
Yep.
I think that's actually like
that's
I think
cool.
It's very cool. Right. Very cool. They had one guy who was like the dab guy. He was like dab, 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 like nonstop. I kind of like that.
They asked you if you wanted to be pre-recorded.
Right, you can pre-record and submit, or you can
exactly
tune in on your phone or whatever.
Pre-record is whack. You gotta be.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah, I got one.
You gotta be live.
I got one of those from the Suns.
Oh, that's where?
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, whatever. I didn't answer.
CW, Habs back in. Let him join.
Yeah, I got hit by the thunderstorm.
Oh, there
you go. He's back.
Can you guys hear him?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Why can't I see you? This view is weird. Why does the view do that?
Yeah, mate.
Ty's coming up.
Here's the virtual fans you were talking about, Fresh.
Yeah, this is pretty funny, man.
I mean, honestly, it makes it even look even more like the old NBA video games. Because they show the stands, and the fans would be, like, really two-dimensional.
Right.
That's exactly what it looks like. Like, you can't tell the difference.
I was thinking about something, because they pump the noise in, the fan noise. Is there a home team and an away team?
Yeah, there is.
And the
there
home is. Team gets favored? So like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all the virtual fans are cheering for that the home team.
See, of course.
I think it's cool because the other game, Jason Tatum, they had his son as a virtual fan. So think about him being able to play and still look at the screen and see his son. It's like he's at a normal game and he can see his
That's
son.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That would actually make me sad because I wouldn't – my son would be so far away. But I get it. I get it. Good.
Hey, what do you guys think? What do you guys think of now that the NBA is back, it's different – right, with the bubble and all that. I'm enjoying watching the games, but I'm seeing a lot on Twitter that ratings aren't good, people aren't embracing it. What are your thoughts on that? I know I'm speaking to a group here that probably is watching, like I am, but what are your thoughts on the what the NBA has done and how they have treated the pandemic?
I mean, I think it's great. I think this is the way forward that so far it's the only proven way forward. They keep having zero positive tests. It looks like, I mean, there shouldn't be any reason they can't finish out what they're doing there. I mean, overall, I think it's good. I'd like to see them, instead of just letting teams pipe in crowd noise, I'd like to see them get creative and do like the laugh track from Big Bang Theory and stuff. Just mix it up a little bit. Have some fun when a guy screws up.
Well, they play. Play sounds like that when guys miss free throws.
What's that?
They played sounds like messing with guys if they would miss free throws a couple times.
Oh, nice. I didn't catch any of that. I mean, yeah, you should have fun with it. I mean, be like a morning DJ and just have all the whole sound effects board and go nuts with it. Why not?
Yeah, it's been – I can't say I watched that many live. Maybe because they're going on during the day. I can catch the ones at night. But there we go.
Yeah, the games are strange. It's like, I don't know. It's like watching NBA guys play in the high school gym type thing, which I always loved doing in college. We play in the high school gym, and so I think it changes kind of the flow of it. But I mean, dude, and Hav knows. So Chris worked for the NBA for a little while, and I think you always told me Hav Adam, what's his name, Silver.
Yeah,
is a real deal, and it. The guy does not play around. So what they've been able to do, you know, like it or hate it, love it or hate it, can't argue.
Yeah, Adam, so I reported to Adam for a while. He's, you know, and I've been lucky. I've worked at Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, and I've been in finance. I've been around a lot of really smart people. Adam is at the top of the list. He was a brilliant guy who was a lawyer. He was a Proskauer lawyer in New York that when David Stern became commissioner, brought him along thereafter. But he's the godfather of NBA entertainment, and that
that entity and that property, and was just always just really focused on what he was doing and kept the brand in front, and is a terrific commissioner. And you see on social media, you know, how he's handled this pandemic relative to his peer group, which is a small group. It's Bettman, Goodell, and, you know, Manfred. I think he's come out the winner by far. And I was lucky enough to have, you know, 4 or 5 years working for him. And I just, you know, have nothing but great things to say. And I think he's done a terrific job.
Can we get him on the podcast, Ev?
We can get him up. I mean, I can call Adam. I still see him from time to time. And he's just a great guy. Like, he's got a very unique background. He was, you know, bred for this job. And, you know, if you look back, his first, you know, we've all started new jobs. And that's always an uncomfortable time. You're trying something new. He got his job, and he had to deal with Donald Sterling and the Clippers fiasco, which is, you know, a little more relevant today. And how he dealt with that. I mean, you talk about baptism by fire, and he nailed it. So I was, you know, proud of him when I worked for him. I was proud of him how he handled that, and I'm proud of him how he's, you know, navigated this unique time.
I want to go back to the numbers for a second, and I've heard wonderful things about Adam too, by the way. When you talk about numbers being down, one of the reasons has to be that the games are during the day.
Most exactly.
During the day, right? And only some of them are on ESPN. There's only two courts. I think they're playing out of two courts, maybe three, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then with no fans, the fan involvement is a critical part of the game. And that, the energy, so I think, gets people involved and wants and allows people to get involved from their homes. Right. Just like I saw a tweet or I saw a Facebook post, somebody saying, based on watching the model of NBA basketball, he was going to cancel his league pass to football because he just couldn't get into the game because there was no energy from the fans. So when you talk about those two things, it's, I think that those, probably those two things are the reason, the biggest reasons why the numbers are down, I would imagine.
It also could be the stakes, right? There's no, I mean, there's couple of regular season games and then the playoffs. So we'll see when the playoffs come in and they really count.
Right.
Will viewership pick up?
I absolutely agree with that too, Doug.
I think it will.
Yeah, especially depending on when they play the game. So they play in the afternoon.
Yeah, Justin was playing yesterday at like noon. I mean, like, well, at least on the West Coast, it's like really hard to watch.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're doing the you know, the ratings, but that certainly plays a part in it. The fact they're playing during working hours and people can't tune in. And it's an adjustment, right? I mean, everything is different now. And certainly how we view sports and how we consume sports is different. And, you know, what I think is pretty remarkable is that the NBA was sort of the first of the major sports, not including golf and some European soccer and things, but the first one of the major sports to step forward and say, I'll go first. And I think they've gotten almost everything right. So, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I'm happy things are on TV again. SportsCenter's interesting again, which is a, you know, was a huge void in my life for a while. And I'm loving it, and I'm rooting for my Celtics to, you know, to keep playing well, and we'll see what happens.
Quick question, speaking of the Celtics.
Yeah, right.
What are your thoughts on former Dukie Jason Tatum?
What, say that again?
What are your thoughts on former Duke Jason Tatum?
Yeah, so, you know, I watched all the games. My you know, I was sort of born into the Celtics. So, and I have three kids. They're all Celtics fans. My wife has become a Celtics fan. So we watch all the games. I've watched Tatum closely. Phenomenal player. You know, he's got a phenomenal coach. He's got good teammates around him. He was playing as good as anyone in the league when the shutdown happened. And he didn't have a good first game, but he's been balling since they picked it up. And, you know, he's just got to continue to grow. There's a big jump from being a, in my opinion, from being a great player to a superstar. You know, you look around the league, there's, you've got LeBron and Giannis and Harden and, you know, name your others. He is right there, but he's got to make that jump. And I think a deep playoff run and maybe an Eastern Conference championship, if they really play well, I think, and some great performances will get him there. But you got to remember how young the dude is. I mean, he's like maybe – I think he's 21, and he'd still be at Duke. Or maybe he would have been – I think he would have graduated by now. But
yeah, he's
a young guy.
He would, it would have been last year. 23, yeah. That. Yeah.
With the early, with people leaving early, you know, you forget how young these guys are. And a right. quick check is to say, what was I doing when I was 21 years old? And it wasn't, you know, handling the pressure and the night in and night out grind of being an NBA player. So I think he's done great. I think he's going to continue to improve. And, you know, I think the Celtics will surprise some people this year.
Do you think his performance can do you guys think you can credit that to the haircut? Because first game, 5 points, then he cut his hair, and then he had 34.
Hey, nobody had more haircuts than Doug Smith at UVA, so I'd like him to answer that question.
I'll tell you something. There's a lot to be said for the haircut. It's very important every single game, if you're on TV, to get a tight fade. And I'll actually argue with Hav right here because he invented something called the bone fade. Hav's shit was so tight on the sides every day. He may have done it every day.
Wait, yeah, where'd you guys get your haircut?
That was a medical condition that I didn't disclose to the team at the time. I had to get my haircut. I had to get my haircut once a week because of the the overpopulation of cowlicks. And I know if Grant is still on, Grant's got the floppy hair too. He knows it can get in the way. You got to control it.
It can.
Or it will affect your play.
It really can.
Yeah, but you guys both leave it floppy on the top. So my shit was a little bit nappy, so it grew higher. And who was the guy I have? We'd go to Bobby, that racist ass barber, Bobby Bishop.
Bobby Bishop. Yep. And
the guy was. I mean, he cut hair, but he was cheap. And yeah,
where was the barber? I used to go to the place by Dirty Nelly's there.
Yes, yeah, that's Bobby
that's
Bishop.
It. That's it.
That's okay, it. Yeah, that's yeah, a cut right. here.
It was right next to the laundromat at Suds.
YB, you remember that guy or no?
I can't believe you white guys up here trying to compare your college haircuts to Jason Tatum's haircuts every week.
But yo, little known fact, but Hav will know this. Bobby would do my shit, and I'd go home, and I'd try to, like, touch it up with my own clippers. I got the bell again. And
I think Bobby was eventually arrested for cruelty to children on some kind of trumped-up haircut charge. But if you got out of there without any blood on your collar, you had a great
right.
haircut.
Right.
How much was it? Like $5?
Oh, yeah.
But the funny part...
$7, and if he did a, if you weren't bleeding, you'd give him the extra $3. Right. If you were bleeding, you'd only give him $2.
It was
a simpler time, Dougie.
It was, man. It was.
I think that's beyond the statute of limitations for the NCAA, so we should be okay.
Yeah. Hey, I saw today. There's a GoFundMe page for Little John's. You guys see that?
Yeah,
Dev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the owners of Little John's, I guess, are struggling, and Doug was a regular, like the five easy pieces, right, Dougie Fresh?
You nailed it. Five easy. I never pay for those either.
I know.
So apparently somebody bought it and then started a GoFundMe, or somebody took over Little John's, because they closed, and then somebody bought it, some entrepreneurs bought it, and now they're trying to get – open it back up.
CW knows. CW.
Yeah. I'm all about saving Little John's. I'm not even a sub fan, but that's an institution.
That
place was great. So, Mark, I got a question for you. You know, a lot of you know, we're sort of all friends on Facebook with a lot of former UVA athletes, and their kids are either in college or approaching college. You know, my daughter is a 6'1 volleyball player. She's 14. She's going to go play somewhere. She's very good. My son's a baseball kid who's very talented. How did you navigate the youth sports environment and try to make good decisions for Ty and keep him on the path to going to a great school like UVA?
I really wish I could say I planned it out from the start, but I can't at all. And it was just as decisions came up, we were fortunate with the opportunities we had and the options. And every year I was in control of his basketball and his baseball growing up, because I ran the program that he played for up until he was in eighth grade. And my friend ran the baseball team that he played with, and both of our kids were on both teams. So we could coordinate the schedules. Right. But as he got to ninth and 10th grade, he started playing with other teams. So it wasn't just on me. It was, hey, we're going to play with, I think we had a united front about which team he would play with, which AAU mm-hmm. team, and of course, which school. But then it was, and then we had a long conversation about UVA when he was offered at UVA and after the visit, and it made the most sense. Like, we left there. I really wanted Stanford. Before, I didn't, you know, think he was going to be good enough for, I didn't even think about UVA. And then Columbia had been recruiting him since he was in eighth grade, and we got to know the coach really well. And they were recruiting him in Atlanta, Georgia during the Under Armour tournament, the summer between his sophomore year and junior year. And he played really well, and his team won the national championship of Under Armour. And Bennett had been in the gym, and his coach knew Ron Sanchez, being from New York, his AAU coach. And Bennett came in and offered him. And so I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I told this part I talked about when Bennett called me to offer him a scholarship. I screamed like we hit the lottery. And then Bennett said, we want you to come down and visit in a couple of weeks. And we want him to make a decision. And we want him to confirm and say and commit. But I still was like, oh man, we got to go look at Stanford. Right. And I knew one of the coaches. So I was trying to hold off. So I said that we'd come down over Labor Day weekend, and I got a chance to go to Stanford, and it wasn't in a comparison. Once he offered, I was all in. And then we got down there and did the visit. We saw JPJ, and I was like, can I turn the clock back a few years so I could have played here?
Right.
So I could have been on ground at UVA and played on the team, because it was the most impressive thing. Maybe, you know, next to the Eiffel Tower, right? Outside of New York. JPJ was just, and they start playing the video of the team winning the ACC championship. And then we go to a tailgating party. We walk around Tony Bennett, who was just a rock star. He couldn't walk 5 feet without someone coming up to him, without a girl from 8 to a woman to 80 asking him for his autograph and picture. And we went to a tailgating party, and it was just incredible experience. So
that was Chris Havlicek circa 1993 at UVA.
Couldn't walk anywhere.
Couldn't go anywhere with him.
You know, there's so many things to think about, and you know, as the with different teams that your kids can play for, and do you want them to play up? Do you want them to have play on the best team in the state and be, you know, and learn from the bigger, older, stronger kids? Like that's something that I'm in the middle of right now. And, you know, I just always seek out the best coaching and the best programs and, you know, hope for the best. And it's worked out so far, but they're still young. They still got a long way to go.
Basketball is different than most sports, but that formula is pretty much true, right? The best coaching and the best quality experience, right? And if you can find good competition within that, you're in a good place. You're in a really, really good place.
I have a question for you guys. Theoretical here. Your kid, your son, number one player, 5-star recruit. Go anywhere he wants. Where is he going? Like, if you get to make the choice.
In basketball?
In basketball.
Is he a one and done, or is it a
one and done? Number one player in the next great Zion, mean, LeBron, whatever. John Calipari.
Outside of UVA.
What's that?
Outside of UVA, you mean?
Yeah. No. No. Including where is he going? What are you going? G League?
No. My son goes to Calipari. No question.
What position is he?
That's a good point.
But does it matter? Doesn't matter. He's the number one. He's the next right. LeBron James.
He's Zion Williamson.
It doesn't matter then where he goes, right? Except unless
exactly.
Except
he for, doesn't. It doesn't matter for him. Except his for
T Dubs. Except for if you're interested in getting paid before you go to the NBA.
Right.
Right. Then it matters. Right.
Is that why you're picking right. Cal fresh?
No, no. So no, no.
What's
but
that?
Cal does.
Is that though. Why you're picking Cal? Because you want
no,
to get paid?
No, Cal. No, no, no. I change it. I want two Escalades. I'm going to Duke.
No, but Tony,
yeah, give Escalades and a house in the burbs for you.
Cal does it legitimately, yeah. In
yeah,
some
he does.
Form.
I know.
Like these guys go on autograph tours after they've finished playing in the season and they declare mm-hmm. for the draft, so they can make, you know, upwards of. Depending who you are and who the player is and what his following is like, they can make hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yep.
So what's your answer, Mark? Where's Kobe, number one player, greatest, the next LeBron, doesn't matter.
Well, Mark has a son in the NBA, so he knows yeah. more than us. Where would you
right.
go?
Where are you going? And Kobe's like, Dad, you choose. I love you. You choose for me. I believe in you. Where are you picking from?
I'm going UVA.
You're going UVA.
My man.
Wow. YB, where are you going, YB? Where's your son going?
Yeah, I'm going where Tony Bennett and Jason Williford is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Fresh going to Calipari. Grant, your son somehow is only – you had him at three. Get ready.
He's
where
going
is he going? Where is
He's
he going?
Virginia, for sure.
Virginia. Have you on there
yeah,
still?
Yeah, so I think you got to look at your kid and understand what kind of kid he is. And, you know, if he's straight up, Dad, I'm going to play 1 year.
Yes.
And then I'm out. You know, yeah. is UVA the right – I mean, I want all of my kids, all three of them. I want them to go to UVA. If he's a one and done
right.
and he's going to get – you know, I would probably want a coach that has walked that path before, that understands what it's going to look like for the next, you know, it's not that long, right? They start up and call it late August and
right. 6 months.
They're done. So I would say, you know, depending, like for my son, I would say UVA. But he's also real academically oriented and very you know, focused on his school and his sports. If my kid was less academically oriented, I think you got to look at Duke. They've had a lot of kids go through there. They've got a proven track record. Fresh mentioned Calipari. He seems to prepare those kids well. But I think it comes down to what is your kid like? And then you right. factor that in, right. and then you make the right. decision. But, you know, if you go to Duke, UVA, or Kentucky for basketball, man, you're so far ahead of the game, you have no idea.
Right. UVA, Virginia's a learning experience, right? If you're a jump off, you're one and done, you're not going somewhere to learn. You're going to go. Well, and by the way, Hasby being nice, his son – has a nasty left-handed swing and just hits bombs in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all have
exit. What's the new thing? Exit elevation or elevation exit?
Velocity. What do
they call it? Yes.
And then he's so nasty. Different. I mean, look, I was a basketball kid because I grew up in Boston and around the Celtics, and you know, that was my thing in Florida. Basketball, they've got some good players, but you've got football and baseball that dominate
yep. year round
because of the climate.
Yep.
And there's a lot of kids that come out of Florida that get drafted right out of high school. There's a lot of kids that go to University of Florida that you know, has won several national championships. You've got Vanderbilt. Like, baseball's big in the South, and football too. So, you know, if we had grown up, you know, if Yuri had grown up in California or Fresh or me, maybe we'd be playing volleyball. So, you know, to a degree, you are a you know the volleyball coach at Yuri's high school in California would want him.
So I'm gonna make an edit to mine, and I'm gonna say I would love for him to go to UVA, especially I can look back at it, right? 2020. Hindsight is 2020. But I also would strongly consider whoever's running the best NBA offense to prepare him for the next level.
Yeah, that's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't go to Syracuse because, I'm not letting Syracuse, my kids learn to play zone defense.
Right.
Right? Because defensively, those guys are just aren't – I mean, Melo doesn't need to play defense, I guess.
Right.
But a lot of those guys don't make it from Syracuse because they play 2-3 defense and they're not used to playing man-to-man. Right? But certainly, yeah, I think you have to look at offense. And if you look at defense, I want him going to UVA defensively to get ready for the NBA.
No doubt.
Right?
Right.
Well, that's one up. But then, yeah, I mean, I think so. But Duke, basically, defense is you're on your own island. You're by yourself on the perimeter. Right? So, I think you have to look at offensively and defensively. What's going to prepare you best for the NBA? T-Dubs.
By the way. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, let's say Bryant is not running the world by the time he's 16.
His major disappointment. Go ahead.
Which I'm convinced he will be, by the way. And he's going to play basketball. Where is he going?
Right.
Where is he going?
Yeah, and don't forget about the West Coast, because the West Coast gets up and down.
If he's like, I always think about the question of if you're not going to play – and you know, like the Austin Kacer, Grant Kersey scenario, like go to UVA and sit on the end of the bench or go to Pepperdine and be on the beach and play. I'm probably going to say go to Pepperdine.
The number one school to get your kid prepared.
But not the number one. I'm just saying it in, you know, reality, Asian kid.
Okay,
not
but let's say he's the number one player.
If he is at UVA, of course, UVA. Like, if I get to make the choice, yeah, he's going to UVA for sure.
Nah, TW is definitely sending Brian to an HBCU.
That's possible.
100, yo, I'm if sorry, Brian. Your name's Brian Howard. Let's go.
No, Brian is another school. No, if he's on the fringe of playing versus being, you know, I'm probably going to go where I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. Right. Just because I don't want the scenario to be like I'm upset at UVA because he's not playing, and now I've got this weird beef. It ruins my experience of being a UVA fan because my son is sitting on the end of the bench. Like I don't want to avoid that.
No, how proud would you be if your son played in Virginia? It wouldn't matter, right?
Yeah, I mean, if my kid's not going to get minutes, I want him to get the education and UVA.
That's like saying I should have gone to Arkansas State and played 40 minutes a game, you know?
Right. Right. How's that going to pay off for you now? I mean, if you don't have pro prospects, you're
pro every year. I'm like, I'm available to the draft every single year.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
I got to tell you that story. I love messing with Mark Jerome, my dude. So I met him when Ty committed. It was like junior year, whatever, in Madison Square Garden. And Mark always said to me, he's like, man, I just hope Ty can get some minutes. And I was like, I get it. It's tough. It's not. And, you know, I had no expectations of Ty. I didn't know him. I watched him film. And fast forward, Final Four, championship game. I see Mark Jerome, Minneapolis. I'm like, what's up, dude? You excited? Let's go. Let's go. He's like, man, I just hope Ty plays tonight, yo. I hope he plays. He was so hard on this kid. Like, yo, Ty had 15, 8, and 7. And he's like, yeah, but he missed that pass. He messed up here. Isn't that great, Hava? So fun.
Man, I remember – so I had buddies that went to the same – what's the high school that Ty went to?
Iona Prep.
Iona.
Yeah. So I had buddies – whose kids are at Iona Prep, and You know, I remember seeing stuff on Ty, and he started hitting the recruiting boards, and I saw him at Rucker when they did that video. And I remember telling my buddy, hey, you know, what's up with this Ty Jerome kid? And he was like, that kid is so good. That kid is going to be – he's a pro, but I don't think he knows it yet.
Really?
And, that's when I first started following, you know, Ty, and I remember that big shot at Villanova, essentially the game winner, but then they scored again. So it's just fun when you – and T-Dub, I know you're like on the recruiting boards and all that. I don't do it as religiously as you do, but I try to stay connected and follow, and it's just been really cool to see Ty, like seeing him as a sophomore on the mixtapes and then – having a connection to, you know, I worked in New York City for like 7 years. A bunch of my buddies are still there. Their kids go to Iona Prep or went there. And it was just a cool story. And I think that's what, you know, what makes this so fun. And that's why I love what you guys are doing with the podcast. I think it brings people back into the family and gets them excited again.
That is maybe the best part about this, like meeting got for me being the outsider. Meeting all you guys and watching the connection, yeah. Just organizing this and coordinating people coming to get YB, coming back to DJ, Connor Jones coming back to DJ, getting you on, hooking up with Phony, Dougie and Grant. It's unbelievable.
Can I just say how lucky I am? Because I'm just a fan, man. I went to school and I watched YB and Havlicek, man, and. Then obviously been following closely since then, and it's just been a hell of a journey, and it's such a program that it's a program that's so easy to cheer for, and all of these guys going back from Chris and Fresh from your time all the way forward, I'm proud to be a fan, and I just feel fortunate to be sitting here with you guys today.
That's awesome, dude.
I don't know why I'm here. I still don't know why I'm here, but
no, we appreciate you.
No, you because you like the you have the best voice.
That's, yeah, so Fresh, you mentioned I listened to the Matt Blunden podcast today. And yes. You guys were joking about your recruiting trip to UVA.
Oh, going my to see gosh. A movie.
Which was really analogous to my recruiting trip there. It was by far the least
so
the least fun of all of them. What was your best one?
My best one was Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I went through – oh, I'm not sure I can talk about this. T.W., you can edit this, right? So Texas A&M, they play your strings. They play your strings every way, right? So I grew up in Fayetteville, Tennessee. I went to church Sunday, and Wednesday. And they knew me that way. And I was a decent student. I was a great student in high school, not afterwards. And so basically Texas A&M, it went from Friday night visit, a church service.
What about you? What was yours? What were your visits like?
So I remember, so I went to Ohio State with Jimmy Jackson, who yep. played the same position as me, and I had played against him in AAU, and I had played against him at five-star basketball camp, which was, I don't know if they still have it. They might still have it. But back then, you wanted to go to that. The second week, it was Pitt 2. So he was there on, like, three of my visits. And I can tell you that the attention paid to Jimmy Jackson – was significantly greater than the attention that was paid to me.
Can I interrupt there? So Hav's name was Skinny C coming to college. So he was 6'5", 6'6", 195. Jimmy Jackson, as a sophomore in high school, was probably 6'4", 6'5", 220.
Yeah, I remember him.
Right.
It was actually a good preparation for my college career. being snubbed so significantly, But look, he was a number one player in our class. He played two guard. You know, so I looked at Ohio State, Northwestern, Stanford, Virginia. I took a bunch like locally, like Boston College. So a lot of the Ivies were on me early, which, you know, they had pretty good basketball back then. And certainly Princeton was a power, and so was University of Pennsylvania. But I went to UVA, and you got to remember, I'm coming from Boston, and it was probably like 60 degrees a February game when I went down there. I thought I was in like South Beach because Boston's so cold.
Right.
And people were tailgating before the game, and it was just a great visit. You know, I had guys that took me around like Crotty, John Crotty, Dirk Castro, Kenny Turner. And I didn't go to a movie, but we did you know, things around the town, and I just felt really at home there. You know, I went there, and first, you know, everybody, with the exception of someone like Ty and guys that went on to the NBA, I mean, I remember playing at Graves Mountain Lodge. I flew in the summer. Doug, you had just left. You were staying at Dirk's. But I guarded Brian Stith at Graves Mountain Lodge. And I remember I came back, I was like, Dad, this dude destroyed me. And we were about the same size, height-wise. and I just remember thinking, wow, these guys, this is a great program. You know, Terry Holland's there. He's not going anywhere. He's been there for 15 years. So I signed, and, you know, lo and behold, Coach Holland ended up moving on, and JJ came in. And I never, you know, I didn't have the opportunity to play a lot, but I always took my role really seriously. I mentioned earlier, we had a great second team that would give it to the first team a lot. And YB was on some of those teams early on in his career.
No doubt.
But we, you know what? We had just a terrific group of guys that worked really hard. And I personally, once I figured out kind of after my freshman or sophomore year, okay, you're not going to play a lot, but you can still be a really good teammate. You can be a leader. You can do well in school. You can participate in, you know, a lot of the social things that happen at UVA. It ended up being a good fit. I missed the playing a lot, but it was something that I recognized I wasn't going to be an NBA player, and that was okay, and that I could get a great education, be around guys that truthfully – like, I could not have asked for a better group of guys to be around. We all got along. We all competed. we hung out together off the court. It wasn't a situation where when practice was over, everyone splintered. You know, we were around each other a lot. And I just felt lucky to be part of that group.
At any point, were you thinking I should have went somewhere else? Were you?
Yeah, I thought about transferring.
Yeah.
Everyone did.
Everyone does, yeah, right? Naturally.
I was gone.
Yeah, right. We were all gone.
I was about to be gone. Yeah, I was gone.
I think everyone comes through, has those moments.
All right.
Because if you get a scholarship to UVA, you are either the best player in your state or one of the top, call it five. Right? You hadn't played against guys that were that much better than you, but Brian Stith was a lot better than me. And as I said earlier, that was me guarding him. And then on the defensive end, I had guys like Cornell Parker guarding me, who was all ACC defensive player, Jason Williford coming in. we just had an Anthony Oliver who, you know, was tasked with guarding guys like Rodney Monroe.
Brian Oliver.
AO. And AO was, I mean, AO was tough.
Yeah.
Super tough.
It's not like I wanted to play and I competed, but you come to the realization, wow, these guys are really good, and it's not an easy decision, but I came to the realization, wow, these guys are better. I'm going to have to do everything perfect. And I tried to do that. You know, we worked hard, we lifted weights, we you know, did everything we could to get ourselves on the court. And if you didn't get on the court, there was still dignity in that effort. And that's what I took a lot of satisfaction in, is trying to be the best I could be. And, you know, it made it easier when everyone around you was working just as hard. And not only that, but right. They were great people. So there was no off court drama.
Well, I think too, all of us back then, we all respected everything that everybody brought, right? Like, you know, Junior tells me I was a great college basketball player. No, I wasn't, Junior. You know, YB respects me. We respect you. That was because we did it every day together, right? You're talking about lifting weights, yeah. Running sprints, you know, going at it in practice. Like, nobody backed down. That's how we competed, man.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know,
yeah. I mean, as a fan, when you're watching, it's like, why? And you don't understand why doesn't Half play? Like, you can right. see, he can shoot, he can play. Why isn't he getting minutes? And I can't imagine, like, your parent and that thing we were talking about. How your parents feel about that? You know,
right? I will say, Chris Havlicek has the best moving in. You know, the first year moving in the dorm story. Like, my mom drove me. And Hav and his family came down in an RV. Is that right, Chris? Is RV
yeah,
the right
so
word?
My dad, when he retired from the Celtics, they tried to give him a Rolls Royce as a thank you gift. And if, nice. You know, you guys, Doug, I know you had Doug and YB, you got to meet my dad. He's the last guy in the world that would want a Rolls Royce. So he went up to Red Auerbach and said, hey, you know what? Instead of a Rolls Royce, maybe we could get a motorhome. So when this, you know, I want to take my family around the country. So we had this big camper. And I'm not sure my dad ever got licensed to operate it on state highways. So we fired this thing up and we went down to UVA and didn't really know where we were going. You know, everything was so loose back then. You got like a letter in the mail saying, hey, this is your move-in date. And we'll see you when you get here. Like, there wasn't email, texting. So we rolled down, and it was my whole family and my cousins. There was like 8 of us in the camper. And we rolled down by the corner. We rolled down by the corner, and my dad lodged it underneath the railroad tracks by the white spot. And couldn't back up. And we shut down the campus. You know, it was like move-in day. And we basically shut the campus down, and I walked from the white spot to Tuttle carrying my bag, and that's how I moved in. But, you know, not the best part.
It's only a Hall of Fame top 10 player in the history of the NBA that lodged his shit into the thing.
And it was not. I guarantee you, I guarantee into it. I mean, we hit it going like 20.
There have been a lot of people to do that since then, though. Is it an homage?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy to be it would have been a shame if I started my UVA career out with a torn Achilles because my dad hit the railroad bridge before I even got there.
That's awesome. I had no idea that bridge was that legendary. I watch videos because people post videos all the time. Oh, there you go, of the 10-8 bridge or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
Chris, that's so great.
I'm excited because tomorrow I'm going to tell the owner of my company that you are on my podcast. And he will immediately drop into the Johnny Most call of Havlicek stole the ball.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, but, you know, that was it was a great play, and it helped my dad a lot. But it did set me up for years and years of Havlicek stole my sandwich, Havlicek stole my beer, Havlicek stole my girlfriend. Like, I've heard every single one of them. But you know what? It's a great memory, and it, whenever I hear it, it obviously makes me think of my dad.
That's pretty cool. We got one more, Grant. Last one.
Yep.
Y'all didn't ask me about any recruiting stories, but.
Because you're coming on. You're coming on our pod to do.
Yeah.
You're full of YB.
And so is Hav, but that's why we limited him too.
Okay.
And by the way, let's go back to real quick, back to University of Virginia and the reach and how great it is. I think we were juniors and Sherry Greer, probably the best lacrosse player in the history of the game for women. probably for men too. she came there, and it just so happened that Chris's dad stole the ball from her dad.
Very true.
And so we're at Bryant Hall, and this girl, Sherry's like beautiful girl, coolest ever.
Yeah, I have a Sherry Greer story too.
And so Hav goes up to her, her first day at Bryant Hall, and he's like, "My daddy stole the ball from your daddy." And she's so like, good. "What?"
So good.
So good.
Yeah, she's a great girl. Doug is right. She is probably the greatest women's lacrosse player ever. My sister plays lacrosse at UVA, and they won a national championship together. And Sherry's in Florida, so we still keep up. But, YB, it sounds like you have a story.
No, I'm not telling it.
Oh. Okay. So,
come on, YB. You can't.
No, can't do us like that. No, for some reason, we ended up at Sherry Greer's dorm or apartment. And I think it was myself and Harold Dean. Might have been a couple, drinks involved. And I just totally embarrassed myself. But I really digress. I really would like to pass the baton to somebody else right now.
Okay.
No, we never had any conversation at school. I just ended up one evening at her place. And I was just so arrogant, I think, that everybody else was leaving. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just stay here for a while. And so it's just she and I there watching. She was just too cool to say, we don't even really know each other.
What are you doing?
I was just like, yeah, I'm going to hang out here. She's kind of cool. It's like, yeah, see y'all later.
It's like, YB, you ain't got to go home. But you gotta get the hell out of here.
She didn't kick me out. We chilled and everything,
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's one of the people that in my years in Brazil. She came down with her own girls. We hung out in Brazil.
That's awesome.
Hey Fresh, did you ever cover the fact that you and I went to the same basketball camp when we were freshmen? Have you ever gotten into that with Mark?
No. Maybe offline, but we can. This dude, you got to do a podcast. We got to do the Chris Havlicek joint, YB joint.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was at North Carolina basketball camp. It's called the Dean Smith School of Basketball, right?
Yep. I went twice.
Oh, me too. Yeah, same
I
as
went
us.
Twice.
And so I was there my freshman year, and well, I was with the guy.
Already. Let's save it. Let's save it for the podcast.
All right.
I'm excited to hear about it. Because I have not heard
this one. It's all they're all. There's so many stories. Have and YBs are going to be like 4-hour podcasts.
Let me just prep this real quick. Do y'all remember Andrew DeClercq?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went to Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went to Florida.
I'm probably the reason he didn't come to UVA. I'm definitely the reason he didn't go to UVA.
I hosted him.
You did?
He was killing me. He was like, "Can we go see the architecture school?"
I'm
like, "No, bro.
I didn't like it."
Like, Hav and Big Red are having a banger over there at their Pica house, whatever. I don't want to go. He's like, "Well, I'm trying to get an education." I'm like, "Oh my gosh!"
He fell asleep watching. He had his feet up, laid out, knocked out, snoring during practice.
Somebody else told that story.
Yeah, Jeff Jones told that story.
That pissed me off so much. I'm like, I don't want this dude on my team.
Right.
Like, he's sleeping through. I didn't know he was going to be a beast, though.
He was solid.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember.
This is practice, YB. Practice.
Practice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, they were very careful, and there's an art to this, about who they would pair with the host of the recruit.
Right.
Right? So I knew if I got hold of a kid that he was ready to go. And, I would tell him that, some players had aspirations of getting their number retired up in the rafters of University Hall. But I let him know pretty quick I was probably going to get my number retired on Rugby Road. And so when they would bring a recruit to me, I would get the nod like, "He wants to go." And I'm like, "All right." And Big Red and I would take them out, and we had a few come through, and we were like 0-3. But I took that as a sign that I did my job. And that might be why Andrew DeClercq was sleeping, but I actually did. I did not take him out.
Oh, get me and Hav and YB together. Sorry, guys.
Oh, that was awesome. These stories are great.
Yeah, I keep listening to these stories all night.
Yeah, we can. And I'm sure lots of our listeners will be. And if people, if you guys and listeners, if you guys are enjoying these stories, make sure you continue to check out our basketball podcast and our football podcast. Our football podcasts are every Thursday. Is that correct, T-Dubs?
We're trying to make them every Thursday. We'll drop them on Thursdays if we have them.
Thursdays. We drop the Foch's Corner on Thursdays as well. Jay Willie every other Monday night during the summer. We've got a couple other exciting things formulating. And let's thank Grant Kersey, as always, for coming on and being a big part of this. And have, it was so, so good to
really,
have you on.
Really cool.
So great to be on with you guys. And just a great spirit.
Thanks, brother. I look forward to meeting you guys in person and reminiscing more.
Absolutely. Please keep us up to date with your son and your daughter as they prepare their journey to come into UVA to play volleyball and baseball.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. A couple of championships.
War championships. YB.
Yes.
Take us away.
Break it on down, boy.
For Phony Bennett, for Dougie Fresh, for T Dogs, and our special guest Grant and Chris Abs, we are giving you locker room access with the Foch's Corner.
Right. My AI just changed. It just buzzed the front gate. Thank God you came. How many more days could I wait? Made plans with you, and I won't let them fall through. I think I lie for you. I think I die for you. Jealousy cry for you. Do things when you want me to. I control, control. Yeah, I control,
Hey, watch out for the dumb people. Bitch, girl, KK, tell me what you do. You can't see me. Hey, Chucky B, I don't know what my name is. Today I'm never not in my day. Gonna change my way. Who put it in the way with all them games I play? Who walk with flicks off of anything I did? Get out of the chair, forget that my guy be dead. Shit, I think I'm fun now. I seen it through the town. Who makes me want to settle down and have it fun now? He might be the one now. I can't explain it myself. I let my daddy took ground. He's the one day.
I was driving in my car one day. I saw a sexy lady walk my way. A baby body and a pretty face. So I whispered in her ear and I said, I really love your style and your dress to fly, yo. I love to see your pretty face in my show. I've been around the world from London to Chicago, but I ain't never met a girl like you.
Down is the key for years, about 10 of them. Look who we started smacking like and making none of them. Tears and fear from my peers. They written, you think that it is, it is, it's not it is. It's a race for the water, my daughter, my kids are hanging out. Sheets rocking, beats in our teeth, and it's time for hanging out. Thank you.